Side. I said that, he said. Trust me. It's a game, gentlemen, and a good player is one who can turn a bad situation to their advantage. I have brought you this far, haven't I? A little cash and the right attitude will take us the rest of the way. I am sure you can find some more money, he added. From somewhere, it won't be missed. This wasn't silence. It went beyond silence. What are you suggesting? Said Nutmeg.
Embezzlement, theft, breach of trust, misappropriation of funds. People could be so harsh, said Guilt.
He threw open his arms again, and a big, friendly smile emerged like the sun breaking through storm clouds.
Gentlemen, I understand. Money was made to work, to move, to grow, not to be locked up in some vault. Poor Mr. Horsefry, I believe, did not really understand that. So much on his mind, poor fellow, but we are businessmen. We understand these things, my friends.
He surveyed the faces of men who now knew that they were riding a tiger. It had been a good ride up until a week or so ago. It wasn't a case of not being able to get off. They could get off. That was not the problem. The problem was that the tiger knew where they lived. Poor Mr. Horsefry. There had been rumours. In fact, they were completely unsubstantiated rumours because Mr. Grile had been excessively good at his job when pigeons weren't involved, had moved like a shadow with claws, and, while he'd left a faint scent, it had been masked by the blood. In the nose of a werewolf, blood trumps everything. But rumour rose in the streets of Ankh-Morpork like mist from a midden. And then it occurred to one or two of the board that the jovial "my friends" in the mouth of Reacher Guilt, so generous with his invitations, his little tips, his advice and his champagne, was beginning in its harmonics and overtones to sound just like the word "pow" in the mouth of a man in an alley who was offering cosmetic surgery with a broken bottle in exchange for not being given any money. On the other hand, they'd been safe so far. Maybe it was worth following the tiger to the kill. Better to follow at the beast's heel than be its prey.
"And I now realise that I'm inexcusably keeping you from your beds," said Guilt. "Good night to you, gentlemen. You may safely leave everything to me." "Igor."
"Yes, master," said Igor behind him.
"Do see these gentlemen out and ask Mr. Pony to come in."
Guilt watched them go with a smile of satisfaction, which became a bright and happy face when Pony was ushered in. The interview with the engineer went like this.
"Mr. Pony," said Guilt, "I'm very pleased to tell you that the board, impressed by your dedication and the hard work you have been putting in, have voted unanimously to increase your salary by $500 a year.
Pony brightened up.
"Thank you very much, sir. That'll certainly come in.
However, Mr. Pony, as part of the management of the Grand Trunk Company, and we do think of you as part of the team, we must ask you to bear in mind our cash flow. We cannot authorise more than $25,000 for repair this year."
"That's only about $70 a tower, sir," the engineer protested.
"Is it really?" "I told him you wouldn't accept that," said Guilt. "Mr. Pony is an engineer of integrity," I said. "He won't accept a penny less than $50,000, I told him.
Pony looked hunted. "Couldn't really do much of a job, sir, even for that. I could get some walking tower teams out there, yes, but most of the mountain towers are living on borrowed time as it is."
"We're counting on you, George," said Guilt.
"Well, I suppose, could we have the Hour of the Dead back, Mr. Guilt?"
"I really wish you wouldn't use that fanciful term," said Guilt. "It really does not present the right image."
"Sorry, sir," said Pony, "but I still need it."
Guilt drummed his fingers on the table.
"You're asking a lot, George. You really are. That's a revenue flow we're talking about. The board won't be very pleased with me if I..."
"I think I've got to insist, Mr. Guilt," said Pony, looking at his feet.
"And what could you deliver?" said Guilt. "That's what the board will want to know. They'll say to me, 'Reacher, we're giving good old George everything he asks for. What will we be getting in return?'"
Forgetting, for the moment, that it was a quarter of what he'd asked for, good old George said, "Well, we could patch up all round and get some of the really shaky towers back into some sort of order, especially 99 and 201. Oh, there's just so much to do."
"Would it, for example, give us a year of reasonable service?"
Mr. Pony struggled manfully with the engineer's permanent dread of having to commit himself to anything and managed,
"Well, if we don't lose too many staff and the winter isn't too bad, but of course there's always..." Guilt snapped his fingers.